Hey.
How long
did that be here? Just a couple of hours. I didn't know what time you came into work, but okay. Anyways, Daniel.
David.
David.
Yeah?
I'm here to recruit you for the Developer's Guide to the Galaxy.
Okay.
Hey, Chris.
What? How long have you been following me?
Oh, just a couple miles. I didn't know how far we were going to be riding. So, anyways, Chris.
Yeah?
I'm here to recruit you.
For what?
For the Developer's Guide to the Galaxy.
What's that?
All right, I think I have my physics engine ready for Mars. Let's try this out. Build and deploy. Beautiful, looks like it's working. What? Is this a bug?
Petri.
What? How long have you been in here?
Oh, I came in a couple months ago. I didn't know when you were going to be ready, so I've just been waiting.
Okay.
Anyway, Petri, I'm here to recruit you.
For what?
For the Developer's Guide to the Galaxy.
The what?
Hey.
Hey.
How you doing?
Where's my wife?
You know, I don't know. Anyways, Nicola, I'm here to recruit you.
Recruit me for what?
For the Developer's Guide to the Galaxy.
What are you talking about?
Whoa! Hey!
How long have you been back there?
A few hours. I didn't know what time you got off of work. Anyways, Shen, I'm here to recruit you.
For?
For the Developer's Guide to the Galaxy.
Okay, what's that about?
Oh, well, you know, it's a session at Build 2017 where we show off the newest and coolest features from Windows 10 and stuff coming up in the next version. We're going to compete against each other. So what do you say? Are you in?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Excellent.
Okay, sure, I'm in.
All right, see you in the morning.
Good morning.
I'll be there.
I'm in.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey. Oh.
Hi.
Who are you?
Oh, don't worry about me. Hey, are you guys hungry? I haven't eaten for hours. Go get something to eat.
Hello. Developer Universe. Thank you for joining us here today for the Developer's Guide to the Galaxy. And as you can imagine, we're doing something a little different with this session. First of all, we have a rule for our presenters. They're allowed to demo, they're allowed to code live, but they're not allowed to use slides. So all you recruits over there, sorry about your slide decks. We just didn't even load them on the machine for you. So what we want to do today is we want to show you all the coolest, newest features from this version of Windows 10 and a bunch from the upcoming version to show you some of the really cool stuff that you'll be able to do in your applications very soon. We're gonna have a little bit of fun. We're gonna mess with the guys a little bit and keep things moving. We're gonna be timing them. We're gonna be pressing them to finish as quickly as they can. And then we're gonna end with a little game at the end with a few volunteers that we've pre-selected from the audience. And we have a prize for all of you at the end. So if you stick around to the end, we'll make sure we hand that out to everyone. So without further ado, we're gonna start with our very first presentation. We're gonna have Petri Wilhelmsen come up and join us, and he's going to get his PC set here. You can go ahead and close that video. And he's going to show us how to integrate mixed reality into our UWP apps today using apps that run on the desktop and other UWP devices. So without further ado, Petri,
all right.
I present to you the stage.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. So a couple of questions for you first. How many of you guys know what mixed reality is? Okay, I see a lot of hands. How many have actually been developing mixed reality experiences? Not a lot of people. There's a common perception that developing mixed reality applications and experiences is very hard. First of all, you need to render stuff in 3D, which requires a lot of math and physics and all that kind of stuff. Secondly, You need to have a 3D artist who can give you 3D models, you know, the things that you need to actually render. And three, you need very specific hardware like a HoloLens or something like that to actually render this stuff. So I'm here today to show you two things. How to develop mixed reality application using only a normal PC with a web camera, and two, how simple it really is. So mixed reality is a way to kind of connect virtual objects, like 3D models, with real-world objects, such as, for example, this picture here. And then you use a hardware, in this case, a web camera, as the device to communicate between those. So for example, using mixed reality can like really enhance the experience of traditional 2D flat applications into something more fun and cool to see. So I have an application here. It's called Augmented Reality Experiences. What this does is that you can actually select an object. So I have this here. This is the image. And then I have a 3D object here. So now I'm making a connection between these two. And I'm going to add this and hit ready. So if I put my marker here and I actually start looking at it with this PC, you can see that it's actually rendering here in 3D. And I can also interact with it. For example, please disassemble, since this is a touch screen. You can see that you can actually work with this mixed reality experience, which is pretty cool, right? What I'm going to do next is to show you how this experience was developed. To create mixed reality experiences, I'm using Unity as the 3D engine. So this is how that looks like. And then I'm using something called Vuforia, which is one of the leading platforms for making augmented reality, mixed reality experiences. To start using Vuforia, you download the SDK, you get a license key. There's a free one that you can play around with as a developer. And to be able to create or add Vuforia into any Unity solution, you just add the SDK. And I go to the prefabs folder here that comes with the SDK. And I drag and drop a special camera into the scene. This is kind of what the web camera sees. This camera is configured in this way. I have my license key here. And I also load a set of objects like this that I can upload to the Vuforia portal, which is developer.vuforia.com. And then you can just add it to the solution. The next thing that I need is to actually add that object into my 3D world. It's going to be invisible, but you need to define it and put the orientation. So I'm going to go into this prefabs folder, and I'm going to drag the image target, because this is an image that I just printed out, and I'm going to add it to the scene. The next thing I need is a 3D model. And luckily, since I'm on a Windows 10 PC, I can use Paint 3D to get 3D models. So using Paint 3D, I can, for example, go ahead here. I can add, say, I'm going to do a sun, maybe. There we go. And you can draw directly on it. There we go. Oh, I need a different color. It's very nice, smiley, right? Or if I'm not that good with using my artistic skills, because, you know, I'm a coder, I can go into the remix section here and actually just download a pre-made 3D model, and I can add it to my project. And inspired by the amount of donuts I saw yesterday here and the amount I ate myself, I'll place a donut into my project. And there it is. It's now loaded in Paint 3D. You can rotate it, you can move the camera around and build some more advanced stuff and paint on it. And then once you're done, you can to save as. And I'm going to select FBX, which is a 3D model format that is supported by Unity. And I'm going to export it into the assets folder of my project. And I'm going to call it Mr. Actually, I'm just going to call it Scorpion, because it makes a lot of sense. Now that it's exported, I can go back into Unity. And you can see that Unity now detects that there's a new 3D model here. So what I'm going to do now is to find that 3D model, which is the 3D models folder here. And I'm just going to drag it into the image target. And the way it works is that once the SDK detects this object, it renders everything that is a child of this image target on top of it. As you can see, the size is very big, so I need to scale it down a little bit. Quite a lot, actually. And I'm going to do that on all the axes. There we have it. And I'm going to reposition it a little bit. You can actually make it a little bit bigger, too. There we go. Looks amazing. And then I can hit play. And if everything works now, you should see a donut in front of me. There we go. And I can look around it. I can rotate it, and it'll do all the things. So as you can see, creating mixed reality experiences on Windows 10 is not that hard. It requires some cool stuff, but that's about it. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next up we have Chris Barker, who's going to come up, and he's going to show us some of the new features that come with RS3, the next version of Windows 10, called My People. And he's going to end with a little bit of a surprise ending, I think. So, Chris, go ahead and take it away.
Thanks, Jeff. For Windows 10 Fall Creators Update, we're bringing new ways to drive engagement of your social and communication apps. Now, I don't know about you, but I find it really cumbersome to have to send text messages to people these days. I want to communicate purely in the medium of emoji. So I created this app called Memoji, which allows me to do just that. So here you can see my three friends, and I get to see how many emojis they've received today. Now, the point here is that I want to use the new features in the Creators Update in Fall to be able to elevate these people in my app into the shell in some way. So I've written these contacts locally inside of my app. All I need to do to elevate them into the shell is to write to the local contact store on the device. So when I do that, I can see that in the new people bar that we have down here, if I select that, when it behaves itself, we're going to see the integration into the shell, which is not playing ball right now. Let's just get this restarted. And when that magically reappears down at the bottom there, we should now be able to go click this. Phew. And now we see that one of my recent contacts that I've interacted with is now appearing in there in my suggested contacts. Now, if I've not interacted with a contact previously, we see that they appear down here in more contacts. And this is a great way to be able to start to interact with those people and elevate them to the forefront and bring the people that matter most closer to you. So if I select Maya in this case, you see that Maya gets pinned down into the taskbar there, and I can access her and communicate with her in a very easy way. Now, let's have a look at the code that made that possible. It was a very simple few lines of code that made that possible, so I simply need to go create the contact. And when I create the contact, all I need to do is go set a few properties like first name, last name that you see in here, and email address as well. And then I go save that into the contact store. Now, the next thing I need to do is go into the contact annotations. Now, a contact annotation is a way of saying any contacts on the system, I want to be able to support them and integrate with them in some way. So here, when I go create a contact annotation, I just set some properties there to say what level of support that I want for a given contact. And here, I just set simple properties such as IDs. And I go save those into the store as well. And that's it. That's all you need to do to be able to get those very simple ways of integration with contacts in the shell. Now, the next thing I want to do is show how I can integrate and drive engagement back into my app. And for that, we have a new feature called the Contact Panel, which you saw briefly a moment ago. So let's have a look at that. If I go into Maya here, you can see that I have this surface here, which is controlled purely by my application. And it can do that because I've subscribed to supporting the Contact Panel. The Contact Panel is something very similar to the share target, which you may be already familiar with. And you get to control the UI, and you get to drive activation of that once the person controlling the shell clicks on the given user. And you can see if I go to the Contact Panel switcher here, all the other apps that support the Contact Panel on my system. So let's take a look at what made this possible. Again, it's really, really simple. So back to the contact annotations, we have to add this special annotation on here called the Contact Panel App ID. And by doing that, we say for this particular contact, I want that to appear in the Contact Panel, and I want to handle that in some way. The next thing that I need to do is go into the manifest, And again, very similar to the way you do with a share target, I need to register the contact panel extension. And then when my app is launched, how do I navigate to the relevant screen? Well, I do that in the activation kind in here, where I detect the contact panel activation kind. And this could be a HTML app, it could be a XAML app as it is here, and I just route the person through to the relevant screen inside of my app. But what if people aren't already familiar with this feature? How can you raise awareness of it inside of your app? Well, we have a solution to that as well, and that's the contact pinning API that we have. So here I went and pinned Maya through the shell, but through my app, I can right-click on a contact, and I can say I want to pin Taylor in this case, and I'll be prompted with a consent dialog there to go and pin Taylor. And I can do the same across here for Oscar. And of course, I can do unpinning in the same way. So let's take a look at the code for that. Here, I'm using the new pin contact manager to detect if I have support on the system for pinning contacts in the first place. And then the second thing I need to do is call this real simple API here, which is request pin contact async, pass in the contact that I want to pin, and say that I want to pin it to the taskbar. And the user then gets that dialog to give their consent for pinning to the taskbar. Now, the final feature that I want to show you, and my favorite feature, is a feature we call shoulder taps. If you've done any toast notifications in the past, this is really the next incarnation of that. It enables me to have a toast notification, but it enables me to have a people-centric toast notification. So let's have a look at what this means. In my app here, I have a hotkey, a hotspot on my app, so I can simulate what a shoulder tap looks like. And for this shoulder tap, I'm going to simulate a shoulder tap to Maya, who you can see in my app here and pinned down here on the taskbar. Now, if I click on here, you can see that a shoulder tap appears, and I get this nice animation above Maya. And that's completely customizable. It can be an animated GIF. It can be a static image. It can be a sprite sheet. And I'm going to ask for your help in a moment to go push some extra load through here. So have your phones ready. Let's have a look at the code that made that possible. If I go in here, you'll see I have to go register my push channel in much the same way. And then here you can see the XML that looks very familiar if you've done any toast notifications in the past. The only differences are that I get to hint to a specific person that I want to send the shoulder tap to. Here I'm doing it on email address and specifying Maya's email address. And then finally, I need to specify an experience type of shoulder tap and then the actual image that I want to appear as part of the shoulder tap. So now I need your help. Please hit this site on your phones or whatever device you have in hand, and you're going to see those three people appear inside the web page. Choose any of those three people, and I've packaged up a shoulder tap, a different type of shoulder tap for each one of those people. And when you hit it, you should see my machine going crazy down here, and you'll see shoulder taps start to appear. Now, while you're doing that, I'll also open up the page. There you go. So someone's hit a smiley there. And I'll go choose one of my favorites in here as well at the end here. So we'll give that a second. So someone loves Oscar there. And then with any luck, we'll also see the final one on there, which is a dancing dinosaur. And just to finish up, you'll see each of these also appear in the Action Center, so you can start to deep link back into your application as well. And this gives you a really nice way to drive end-to-end engagement. This is all available now for you to go play with in the Insider Fast Build. Please go ahead, play with it, and have a good time with it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris, for that exciting demo. Now, we're going to unfortunately have to mute this all. Otherwise, I think we'll have shoulder taps through all of the rest of the session. So, see if we can do that. All right, looks like we're good. Okay, so who's up for a little bit of web? Web VR? Taking MR and web and putting them together. It's amazing. So for that, we have our friend David from France here to do that. David, if you want to go ahead and get your PC set up there. David's going to show us not only web VR, but web VR running on one of the coolest frameworks ever built for the web, which is Babylon JS. So David.
Bonjour à tous. Bienvenue ici. J'espère que vous allez apprécier cette session en français.
David,
yes, oui.
I think there's something wrong with your translator because it sounds like you're speaking French.
Oh,
hold on one sec.
Vous m'entendez?
I have a great new tool for that. Let's see here. There it is. Okay. Now I need you to just... the camera's facing the wrong way, but that's okay. It's going to pick up the sound anyways. I'm just going to hit this new feature we have here in Skype. Try it now.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Do you hear me? Is that better?
Okay. I think we're set. Okay.
I don't think it's perfect because, you know, it's algorithm, but that's okay.
The only way to make it perfect would have been to give you a Texas accent.
Thank you.
Work on that. Take it away, David.
I think I still have my accent, right? No, perhaps not. All right. So, how many web developers in the room? Wow. I'm amazed. Welcome. Welcome, everyone, actually. Even C-sharp developer, that's okay. WebVR. WebVR is today the way for any web developer to be able to do mixed reality on any kind of browser. And that's pretty cool. So you saw the devices we announced this morning, not mentioning Oculus Rift as well and the HTC Vive. You can reach them today just with your browser thanks to this specification, the WebVR specification. It's a specification implemented by most of the modern browsers, Edge, Chrome, Firefox. And you can, if you want, test it into your application, your own browser, if you want, even on your phone. Some of them can support it. Here are the information that WebVR gives you. I'm going to try to zoom it a little bit. So it's not that handy, to be fair, right? You have matrices, and every time I use this word, most of the people start spitting out because, you know, math. But the good news here is that we will have this information used, but we won't use it directly. We have for that a framework. The name is Babylon.js. You may have heard about it already. It's a tool that allows you to do this kind of stuff inside your own browser. So I can wander around with my mouse like in any Quake or Doom game, any FPS game. And at any point in time, I can just click on this button to enable WebVR support. So if I click on it right now, I can just move around like in my headset. You see, the screen is split in two. Two cameras are rendered. We add this weird fish eye effect to compensate the lens. And because this device has accelerometers, I can even do some kind of fake VR with it. So if you just put this device on your head, it should work. It's a cheap web VR device. How to do that? What we've seen before was a complex geometry, but if you think just about web VR itself, it's pretty simple. It's pretty simple because Babylon.js will take care for you of all the gory details you don't want to mess with. Actually, it will take the data coming from WebVR and will compute math on top of that and generate the picture for you. Here is the Babylon.js playground. It's a place for you guys, even C-sharp developers, and I'll show you why, to experiment with Babylon.js. I said even C-sharp developer because there is IntelliSense right here. And you can literally type your code. There is IntelliSense. And because we are using TypeScript to build Babylon.js, we have types. So we can provide you dynamic information while you're typing. So here I can change whatever I want. This scene here is just for me a way to explain how to create a scene. Let me just switch the font a little bit. All right. So I just create a camera. This is my point of interest. I'll get back to that right now. I create a light. I can create a ground, and if you let me search for the ground here, it's just 5 lines of code. I create a ground, I set a texture for it, I move the texture a little bit, and I'm good to go. And that's true for the cubes, that's true for everything. The main point here is mostly this one. Oh, it's not zoomed enough. Let me change that again. Okay. As you can see, inside Babylon.js, we have a feature called IsVR Device Present, meaning first, is your browser supporting WebVR? And second, is there any device connected right now? If it's the case, then this callback is going to be called, and you will be able to create a WebVR camera. That's it. All the algorithm and all the feature about WebVR is there. You don't have to write any other code if you want to deal with WebVR. That's really cool. Actually, I'm a big fan of one line for one feature. Or if you don't have WebVR, no problem. We can still think about the fonts where there are accelerometers, or what I did before, where you can use a VR device orientation camera. It's like a web VR, but we are using, you know, for instance, the cardboard. You can put your phone inside a cardboard and then have a cheap
WebVR device. Okay? And that's it for you, nothing more. We have everything here to work on this device. If I plug, for instance, one of the new MR devices, it's going to work directly. If I'm running that on my phone, it's going to work directly using the accelerometers. That's it. And one of the last things I wanted to show you here, and that's a question I ask myself, actually, a lot of time. Oops, sorry. I tried. Someone is touching my mouse at the same time. Going to be not easy. Let me try to reload this. The idea is, how can I select and interact with an item when I'm using WebVR? That's tough, because you don't have a mouse, right? And it's actually like in a game. You can think about, OK, I want to interact with what's in front of me. OK? So that's why we did this small, yep, I have a small issue here. Sorry about that. I'm going to try to use something different after, but that's OK. Let me just show you the code. Here is the code that I wanted to show you. We just want to do a ray casting. From the camera, I will launch a ray, and I want to get the first item which interacts with this ray. Okay? And then that's what I want to interact with. In Babylon.js, it's like three lines of code. The first one is to get the forward ray. The second one is, okay, pick with this ray and give me if you find a picked mesh. And then if you find a picked mesh, I can change this color. This is what I try to do here. But that's not easy. And that's it. You don't have to do anything else. We can then interact with this picked object. It's like on-click for the web. Let me switch to a second example here. That's the power and the beauty of the web. It works on Edge, obviously. It works on Chrome. It works on Firefox. It works on Brave. It works on all modern browsers. Here, OK, perfect. As you can see, when I move out of my cube, the cube is white. When I move inside my cube, the cube is red, and then blue. That's the way you say, OK, I'm gazing at this object for a certain amount of time, which means I want to interact with this one. It could be different. You can have your headset on your head and use a gamepad to click on a button on a gamepad to say, OK, I want to interact with this one. Or you can also think about the controllers that we presented this morning, and you can use the controller to select something in the room. But for you, actually, all the code is here. Last but not least, I wanted to show you that. To be fair with you, I was a little bit jealous with a Petri demonstration. It did MR and AR, like including augmented reality. You can do that as well here. Let me show you how. We can ask the camera. I'm going to zoom again. You can ask the camera to create a texture from you, from the webcam, and use that as a texture inside your scene. And you can then put this texture everywhere, like on a sphere or on a plane. And if you put that plane on the background of your scene, then that's mixed reality. OK, sorry about that. The only missing thing, actually, is the anchor, like having this weird picture captured by the webcam to allow me to know where I am in the room physically. And you know, that's something I may need your help with. We need to convince the W3C, which is the consortium that handles most of the web standard, to integrate this notion of anchor, that the specific picture, inside the spec. So we, as a web developer, will be able to also do this kind of really cool AR stuff. Thank you very much.